The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Clark, CEO of Gfinity, G-F-I-N sticker. John, thanks for joining me.
Pleased to be here.
Yeah, and you've just released your final year results for the year ended the 30th of June 2021, and you announced this is a year of strategic delivery, positioning the company for scalable growth. So very interesting. So let's get into this, John. I mean, I said, top line, very strong, revenue up 27% year on year. So what's driving the performance?
Yeah, it's first and foremost, just I think it's about strategic focus. What the results are showing is that strategic shift that we around what we own and partnerships that I set out back in April 2020 is starting to deliver. As you mentioned, in the year, revenues grew 27% to 5.7 million. I think what the real story here, though, is it's the growth in revenue from our owned and co-owned properties. You know, the Gfinity Digital Media Group, our tech IP, and partnerships like the one we enjoy with Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management. This accounted for 2.3 million. That's an increase of 768%. So this rebalancing of our revenue streams is going to continue to evolve in 2022 and beyond, and that's what's going to drive the success of this business.
Yeah, so it's still sort of, like I said, in transition, aren't you? And like I said, you can see that from the progress in the reduction of the cost base, can't it?
Yeah, I think, again, when I was appointed CEO in March 2020, it was important that we brought our costs in line with the business we had contracted and the opportunities that we saw in front of us. So since then, we've delivered a 35% reduction in the adjusted OPEX in 2021, and this followed a 13% reduction in the full year 2020 as well. So, we've got big ambitions in line with our strategy. We're become a lean and hungrier organization as a result of those cuts in our costs. But it's also important that we add great talent to the business that's going to enable us to grow and scale and do that at pace. The good news is that we're operating in one of the fastest growing industry sectors, and there's significant opportunity out there for scalable growth, and that's what we're targeting.
And it's like you said there, the digital side of the business is growing very well, but it's still very much a start, isn't it? I mean, it's growing, but it's a start.
Yeah, very much so. And so if you go back sort of 16, 18 months, the Gfinity Digital Media Group didn't exist. Mm. And so, you look at it where it is now and sort of over 1.6 million last year and in the year and growing fast. So it's developing. It's in line with our expectations. We're edging closer to 20 million monthly users. So we're pushing hard to reach that 17 million uniques in November and improving the performance of the sites for brands, and things like geo-targeting becoming more and more important, and more personal, and the ability to give more personalized services to brands looking to connect with that gamer audience and go a little bit deeper into that gamer audience. So as I think we've mentioned before, one of the measures of success that we track for the GDM, and we track it very closely, is that annualized value of a monthly user. Mm-hmm. At the start of the 2021 financial year, that was at 5p. And by the end of the year, that was getting close to 17p. And by the end of this year, we expect that to be more closer to 20p by the end of December. So, when we look at that, and the reason that's important is because in the short term, our goal is to get to 50 million monthly users in that short to medium term, next 18 months. And if you get the value of those users at 30p of a monthly user, that's 15 million high margin revenue. And our medium to longer term goal is 100 million monthly users at 40p. That's 40 million high margin revenue. So, there's a direct correlation between the number of users and the mix of revenue you get from those users. So that's why we want to continue to grow that user base organically and make more acquisitions and shift that and continue to shift that balance of revenue towards affiliate and e-commerce sales, which is why Stock Informer is so important to us. Brand partnerships, whether you get higher CPMs, and that's sort of a big one we're doing now with Domino's, as well as that programmatic ad sales, which was and has been traditionally where the majority of our money has been coming from. That's now changed. So if we do this well, and this was what drives up that annualized value of a monthly user, and that's really what we're focused on.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know you said when you started, you've gone from 4 pence to 15 pence, that annual cost per user there. But so where are you now? You said 17, are you? Around about that?
Yeah, we just at the end of the year we just reported we were just over 16p, and now is in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we're seeing that move closer towards we get that mix right. We get closer towards the 20p, and so we're just working out building that up gradually, and saying our goal is to get to 50 million users, 30p annualized value of a monthly user to drive, that 15 million of high margin revenue. So we've got those targets ahead of us. We're very focused on the delivery. And as I say, to do that in that world, you've got to get the balance right between not just programmatic ads, but good revenue that comes from e-commerce and affiliate networks, and also the brand partnerships where you get higher CPMs, and that's what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah. Let's talk about that Stock Informer. I've had several notifications from Stock Informer because I signed up, because the frenzy is building, especially for Xboxes and PlayStation 5 and all that stuff. And you can see as soon as they go on sale, they're being sold. So how's that working out, the Stock Informer integration?
Yeah, we're making good progress, and as you say, those continued gaming related stock shortages definitely help, especially in the build up to Christmas and holidays. So, so that side of it, from the big picture sort of perspective, is good for us. We've hired a new leader for Stock Informer who worked closely with Mike Green, the founder. He starts in 3 weeks' time and brings a lot of excellent, relevant experience. Very excited about him joining. We're now serving ads, and we did lots of tests, both on the to start with on the US site, but then expanded into the UK site. So, our tech teams are optimizing the sites for the right level of ad delivery. And doing it in a way that doesn't slow down the sites. So that's now starting to roll out. We've started the social forums again, which are generating lots of good conversations. And from that, it's good because you can start to find out what other products people are interested in, and means that we can then go out and build those into our offering. We've already started to add new products, so Pokemon cards. So if you're big on your Pokemon collectibles, then that's now been added, which is good. And as you say, we love it when we see the alerts for PS5 and Xbox stock becoming available. Yeah, well, last week, for example, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, we had £18,000 day of direct revenue coming to us, followed by a £15,000 day. Now, we also had a couple of £2,000 days, so we can't get too carried away with it. But we can see just a sign as soon as, if there's a Argus or a Very or one of these organisations say they have access to that limited stock of Xbox and PlayStation, then we watch the revenue come in, and it's as you can imagine, Justin, we enjoy that. So Stock Informer, it's a great site. We've got plans there now to utilise the authority that it has. And I think now that we've had it for a few months, we're even more excited about the value it can bring to the business.
Yeah. And do you know what? And even other acquisitions, Siege, just the amount of engagement that gets on Twitter is phenomenal. Like, they post out stats that I don't understand, and it gets over 100 likes within minutes.
Yeah, no, those guys have got in that Rainbow Six, and one of the reasons there was a couple of reasons we like that. Firstly, is because in that space they dominate. They have a relationship with Ubisoft, and they have a highly engaged audience, as you just mentioned. Mm. The other reason we like that is what the way they develop the stats and the technology they use to develop those stats are transferable across multiple games. And so that's you can then look at what you can roll that out in other areas that are underserved but highly engaged audience, and we love that.
Yeah. Let's talk about profitability. In the last quarter of 2020, you delivered the first ever quarterly adjusted EBITDA profit. Now you're targeting month-on-month profitability in full year 2023. I think some people were expecting it almost from that Q4 thing to be consistent. So why has it sort of now gone to 2023?
Yeah, no, I think when we look at what against our strategy and our plan, we're making good progress. You can see in our business where it is at the moment that some of the times it's not linear when the revenue comes through. What we saw because of the cash that we got from the warrants and the additional funds that we generated when we did the stock informer raise, that's given us the opportunity to invest in some long term growth opportunities. For example, you know, investing in Siege, that's not going to pay back this year, but we believe next year, and when we look into everything that they're going to be able to do for us, both within that game and, say, in that transferability of the technology, that's going to be a significant revenue generator for us and for the business. So we really like that. And we're also investing heavily into the our product, and sort of I've talked before about industrializing our tournament and engagement platform so that we can sort of license that to multiple people rather than doing just bespoke operations, which we have traditionally done. And so that work is going on. So when you put all those things together, we're investing in the long-term growth of the business, and that's why we've pushed out that number.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, can you explain that? Because, I mean, I see there's two drivers you're talking about here, your own stuff, and that's the digital media and your almost software as a service platform for esports, competitions and games. So how does that work? How are you changing that? And how can you scale that then? How does that work?
Yeah, I think when you on the tournament platform, it's a lot about getting the ability to take our product and be licensed, and making that easy for whether it's game publishers. Sometimes those are games publishers that have already got existing and very powerful, strong businesses, and so our platform's been driving the esports programs for some of the largest mobile game esports programs in the world for the last year. You wouldn't know that it was our platform because it's been embedded into the embedded into the games themselves. So there's one sort of ways of doing that. There's other ways of working with smaller developers and game publishers that are looking at building that straight into their games, and doing that in a way that allows them to offer a competitive gameplay from day one, but embedded into the products that they're building. And so we're developing that technology and then the business model around that, so that allows people at different stages of their development and size to be able to access and utilize the Gfinity engagement platform that allows them to play tournaments and competitions and leagues and ladders, as well as benefit from forums and engagement and conversation around those tournaments. So that's why we brought in people like Tom Brising from ex-Apple to come in with a view of, okay, now industrialize our product. So if I can do it for three games, why can't I do it for 30, and why can't I do it for 100? Yeah. And then license and get long-term license deals. So a lot of work is going into that, and we'll be rolling out the beta products of that early in next year. So those are the types of things that are very exciting. You've been able to take those platforms and do them at scale, multiple languages, multiple games, automated, and basically plug and play script for developers to use. And that's a big push for us.
Yeah, yeah. And I sort of see that. I mentioned before, it's like the twin engines of your growth is, the digital media side and that side. And so, like I said, they're not running concurrently. One's running faster than at the moment, but of course, that will kick in next year, the platform.
That's correct. You know, in the digital media group's a year ahead in terms of where the development is. Now, the thing with our technology platform which is exciting about this is we're not building something that we're then having to go out and try and say to people, you know, trust us, this works well. What we're actually building, saying this is what's driving some of the biggest mobile games in the world. It's driving the Premier League. It's driving Formula One. It's driving the work that we do for even the work we've just been doing for Coca-Cola with around Football Manager, with the tournament platforms in there. And so the technology is being used by some of the biggest and the best. Mm-hmm. Our challenge is saying, okay, how do I make that available for 100 to 1,000 different publishers, for 10 to 100 brands, etc., and doing it in a simple, easy accessible way? And that's what we're working on.
Yeah. Now, like I said, these are the results for the year ended the 30th of June. We're almost now a month and a half away from the first half of 2022. So how have trading conditions been? I mean, because people have to understand that. We are looking backwards here, and a lot can happen in 4.5 months, can't it? So, and even more than that. So what's it been like for this part of the year so far?
We're continuing to sort of make good progress against our strategy, and I thought I always want to bring it back to what our those strategic pillars around what we own and partnerships where we have a share in the commercial upside. We're heading into an important period for the business for both GDM and Stock Informer. We're in that peak season, so the performance over the next 2 months is going to be pretty crucial for us. As I mentioned, Stock Informer, we had 18,000 day and a 15,000 day last week pounds in revenue that came through, and then a couple of other days it was 2,000. So it is a little bit cyclical there, but we're well positioned for the festive period. And that macro environment that you talked about of scarcity supports us in that regard. So we're just going to wait and see how this plays out in practice and make sure we take full advantage of that. The GDM's hitting record monthly user numbers versus this time last year, which we're really pleased about. The excitement that's coming from the team. There's two new sections of the Gfinity Esports site, which are around crypto and mobile gaming. Both are driving very, very strong numbers, which is interesting to see how ultimately what we're looking to do there is, in some ways you say, spread the risk. Sometimes games aren't as popular as they used to be, so you don't get as much traffic. So we're constantly adding new news into our sites to get those numbers to grow, because you can't just rely on what you did last year is going to drive your success a year later. So the team are very proactive in that regard. So we've got a number of opportunities, other opportunities in the pipeline that we're positive about, especially around the commercial partnerships for the V10R League, which is our program with Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management. This year we are doing one longer event, which rather than two shorter events, which we did last year, and that will happen in this, that's going to happen in the second half of our financial year. So in March, April time next in 2022. So we're excited about that. So there's a number of opportunities that are coming our way. I think in my position as CEO, I do take a prudent approach. My focus is on building a sustainable business and putting the foundations in place to do that. Mentioned, unfortunately, progress isn't always as linear as you'd want it to be. I think as the results we've just announced indicate, we're convinced we're on the right track strategically. We've made significant strides in a short space of time, and I'm going to keep pushing forward and building on what what's been created. And we're very upbeat about what those opportunities are. The next 2 or 3 months are key for us, and the team's focused on delivering.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen the share price taking a knock today, but I suppose, people expect something to happen overnight, don't they? But it can't, can it? And I say, this is a work in progress. I mean, any company transition and turnarounds take a long time. But you're confident you are on the right track, and you the plans you set out, you're heading towards achieving the goals in those plans, yeah?
Yeah, I think when you come back to it, I think the most important thing for people to be looking at is and to track with us is that shift of where our revenue comes from.
Yeah.
And that's where the Gfinity Digital Media Group is already flying. You're going to see more coming from the our technology IP as we start to move from a bespoke service for individual clients to a licensed model. And you'll see a lot more opportunities coming that way, and getting that split in the partnerships, and that's where we get higher margin revenue from, and that's what we're pushing for. And we've, I think, the results that we announced indicate and show that that transition is already starting to happen. Now the challenge is making sure we grow it at pace.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for coming on and chatting about the results, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks a lot.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.